above the Diamantina. A human story from Northwest Queensland. John Nettlefold, the owner of Coolabah Station on the Diamantina River, found in his Emu Lake paddock an aeroplane which had been stolen from Captain Loveacre's flying circus in Golden Dawn. The paralyzed girl who was found in the cockpit of the machine is being nursed by Elizabeth Nettlefold, whilst Dr. Knowles has flown to the station to examine her. Sergeant Cox arrived with the flying doctor to investigate the theft of the aeroplane and is also staying at the Coolabah homestead. At this moment, Elizabeth is entering the strange girl's bedroom to take over night duty from the housekeeper, Hetty Brown.
Come in, Miss Elizabeth.
How is she, Hetty?
Fast asleep. Sleeping like an angel in heaven, miss.
Well, that sounds fair enough. Has she made any movement?
No, she hasn't stirred as much as an eyelid since I've been with her. She's very sick, isn't she?
I'm afraid so. Still, I think we can trust Dr. Knowles to pull her through. If only he could find out what has affected her. When did she go to sleep, Hetty?
It's mighty hard to say, really. I closed her eyes about 8 o'clock. About half an hour ago, I turned her over on her side. She'll be right for an hour or so anyway.
Good, Hetty. Now it's time for you to go to bed.
Oh, and I'm more than ready for it, too. I've put the spirit lamp and the supper things in your dressing room, Miss Elizabeth. Now, what time shall I relieve you?
Oh, I don't know, Hetty.
You mustn't overtire yourself. Remember, you haven't slept since last night.
No, I know I haven't. Let me see now. Sergeant Cox and Father are leaving for Emu Lake at 6 in the morning. Would you see they have a proper breakfast before they go, Hetty?
Of course, miss.
All right, then. You can relieve me as soon as you're finished with them. You'll look after Dr. Knowles, too, won't you? He'll be staying here for a day or two.
Yes. What does the doctor think, Miss Elizabeth? Does he think she'll get better?
Yes, I think so. We're all hoping she will, anyway.
It's all very sad. I haven't felt as cut up since my poor husband died.
Never mind, Hetty. You get off to bed.
Oh, Miss Elizabeth, has Sergeant Cox found out who's done it yet?
Done what, Hetty?
Well, you know, miss. Tortured the poor girl.
No, he hasn't.
Doesn't he even know who she is?
Nobody seems to know that.
Well, I never did think much of Sergeant Cox as a policeman.
Oh, Hetty, that's not quite fair, you know. He's doing his best.
Well, he's a very crook policeman if he can't say who she is. That's all I've got to say. What's the good of him?
Now, do go to bed, Hetty. Sergeant Cox will find out in time. Good night.
Oh, very well. Good night, Miss Elizabeth. Whatever you do now, don't strain your eyes reading in that bad light, miss.
All right, Hetty. And now, how's our patient? Good. Sleeping peacefully. Oh, poor girl. I do hope you'll get a good night's sleep. Who's that? Oh, it's you, Dr. Knowles.
Yes, I'm sorry I startled you, Miss Nettlefold. I've just come to have a last look at the patient before turning in for the night.
She's sleeping peacefully now, Doctor.
Good. Yes, she looks all right. I'll draw you up a proper diet in a moment. Meantime, if she can't move herself, you must turn her from side to side. Let's say, every 2 hours.
Yes, Hetty and I have been doing that already, Doctor.
Are you still determined to nurse her?
Yes, I am. Definitely.
Why?
Well, suppose I ask you a question first. Why are you always flying about the country so recklessly?
I never fly recklessly.
That's no answer, Dr. Knowles.
Oh, I know what answer you're expecting me to make. You think I take risks because I'm bored with life, but you're quite wrong. If I hadn't found life extremely interesting, I'd have put an end to it years ago.
Oh, I see.
Do I gather that you find life boring?
I did, Dr. Knowles, until just now.
Not enough to do, I suppose.
Yes, it's all right for Father, of course. He's always had plenty of work to keep him occupied. But I've nothing. Before Mother died, you see, I was at the university, doing a biology course. Afterwards, well, I couldn't leave Father by himself at Coolabah. So here I am.
It's rather difficult, isn't it? Would you rather live in the city?
Certainly not. I love the bush. But if only there was a little more for me to do. That's why I jumped at this chance.
Nursing? You'll soon get tired of that.
No, I don't think so. Now, you're a doctor. What would you prescribe?
Let me see. I think I'd prescribe marriage.
Dr. Knowles, what an extraordinary proposal.
Oh, please, 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 Miss Nettlefold. Not a proposal, merely a prescription.
I understand. Professional advice, huh?
Exactly.
Perhaps you can suggest the husband, too.
No, I believe in giving my patients a reasonable amount of choice.
Oh, then I'm afraid we're not any further advanced.
Are there no candidates?
Well, yes and no. Isn't that rather a personal question, Dr. Knowles?
Well, perhaps it is. I'm sorry. Well, we seem to have forgotten about the real patient. Now, let's get back to business. I'll write out a diet list. Do you mind if I sit down?
Of course not. There's some notepaper on the writing table here.
Thanks.
You needn't have any fear of my getting tired of nursing. I'm only too glad to have something to take me out of myself at last. Do you know, in the last 3 years, I've done nothing but read novels. I must have read almost everything worth reading. I keep all the men on the station supplied with books and magazines.
There's plenty of people in the world who wish they hadn't any more to do than that. They'd think you very lucky.
They wouldn't after a while.
Well, here you are, Miss Nettlefold. Here's the list, and I want you to keep strictly to this diet. I may alter it later.
Thank you, Doctor.
As the girl's asleep now, I'll look in first thing in the morning. Then I'll be able to make a more thorough examination.
Oh, splendid. You're going to let her stay with us, aren't you?
So long as you take proper care of her. She'll be much better off, as a matter of fact, than she would be in a hospital. But immediately she becomes a nuisance, I want you to say so immediately. She has no real claims on you, you remember?
Oh, yes, she has. She's conquered my boredom. And if you only knew what that meant...
Yes, I know what it means, believe me. There's only one thing worse than boredom.
What's that?
Memory. You can banish boredom, but memory never. Well, I must be off to bed. If the girl wakes during the night, send for me. Oh, no, you can do it yourself. Give her some coffee with brandy in it, and... Well, you'd better do that anyway. At 1 o'clock, and again at 4.
Yes, Doctor.
And if you see any change in her condition, send for me at once. Good night, nurse.
Good night, Doctor.
Good night.
Morning, Sergeant.
Morning, Mr. Nettlefold.
Sleep well?
Yes, thanks. Very comfortable night.
Breakfast will be ready in a few minutes, then we'll drive out to Emu Lake.
I'm very anxious to have a look at this machine.
I doubt if you'll find much in the way of clues.
Oh, you'll never know, Mr. Nettlefold. If there's anything there, you may be sure I'll find it. Didn't this girl have any belongings in the cockpit?
Well, to tell the truth, neither my daughter nor myself looked for them. I know it's the first thing we should have done, but we were so concerned about getting the girl out of the plane and putting her in my car that we completely forgot it.
Yes. I think she's pretty certain to have had something with her in the cockpit. Anyway, we'll soon see when we reach Emu Lake. We'll probably be able to establish her identity straight away.
I certainly hope so. It's a very worrying affair. I'd like to see it settled.
So would I.
I brought the car out the front door, so we're all ready as soon as breakfast is over.
Good. Now, there was no wind during the night, was there?
Not a breath. It was the hottest night we've had for a long time.
I'm glad of that. I'm so afraid of the wind destroying any footmarks in the sand.
I don't think you'll find any. I had a very thorough look, and I'm quite a fair bushman, you know.
I don't doubt that for a moment.
Breakfast's ready, Mr. Nettlefold.
That's good. Come on to the dining room, Sergeant.
Right you are, Mr. Nettlefold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Hetty. Has the car left?
Yes, they've just gone.
Oh, that's good. They've got an early start. Well, Hetty, our patient's awake. Will you take over now?
Yes, I'm ready. I've put your breakfast in the dining room.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you must be very tired, Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, yes, I am. It was a very long night. I'll run along and have some breakfast. Dr. Norris comes in. Will you tell him where I am?
Yes, Miss Elizabeth.
Listen, that's an aeroplane. It must be Captain Loveacre.
What's he coming for, miss?
He's going to have a look at his machine on Emu Lake. I expect he'll get there before the others.
There it is. You can see it through the window. Oh, it's a fine-looking aeroplane.
Oh, yes, it is, isn't it?
Such comings and goings I've never seen before at Coolabah. It's like living in the city.
Oh, Hetty. Just one more thing before I go. On no account touch that brandy bottle.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of it, Miss Elizabeth. But why?
I'll tell you about it later. I've got to speak to Dr. Knowles about it first. Tell him to be sure and come and see me as soon as he gets up, will you?
Yes, miss, I will.
Good morning, Miss Nettlefold.
Oh, there you are, Doctor. Good morning.
You wanted to see me, didn't you?
Yes. Have you seen the patient this morning?
Yes, I've just glanced at her. There doesn't seem to be any change.
No. I suppose you wondered where I was when you looked in during the night.
I didn't look in.
Yes, you did, about 4 o'clock.
I assure you I didn't. I was fast asleep at that time.
Are you quite sure?
Of course, I didn't wake up till nearly six.
Well, that's a very strange thing. Someone came into the girl's room.
Are you sure you weren't dreaming?
Positive.
What exactly did you see then?
I left the bedroom and walked into my dressing room. You probably know the two rooms have a communicating door.
Yes, yes, I noticed that.
Hetty had put a tray of coffee and biscuits on my dressing table. I was drinking a cup of coffee when I heard a slight noise in the other room. Through that big mirror on the table, I saw a man's figure pass my doorway. He went over to the girl's bedside table and bent over it with his back towards me.
Yes, yes, go on.
I couldn't see his face, of course, but he was wearing a dark suit, rather like the one you had on last night. I felt sure it was you, Doctor, so I didn't hurry back into the bedroom.
But good heavens, who could have possibly gone into the room at that time of night?
I don't know. Nobody else but you.
Well, it wasn't me, I'll swear that. What was he doing?
I don't know. When I went back into the room, he was gone. I looked out in the corridor, but there wasn't anybody there. He seemed to have just vanished.
Would he have had time to go down the stairs before you looked out?
He must have been very quick if he did.
Was there anything taken from the medicine table?
No. I had a good look. Everything was just the same. As a matter of fact, Doctor, I decided that you must have come in to get a drink.
A drink?
Yes, I thought you might have taken some brandy out of the bottle.
Ah, I see. So that's the kind of reputation I have, is it?
Oh, please, don't be offended. But there didn't seem to be any other solution. Anyway, I looked at the bottle. Nothing had been taken out. It was a new bottle, you remember?
Yes.
And then I noticed that the bottle was full right up to the cork.
Well, that's all right then, isn't it?
No, it isn't. During the night, I gave the patient 2 teaspoonfuls of the brandy.
By Jove, I must have a look at that bottle at once. You haven't given her any more, have you?
No. I told Hetty not to touch it either.
Good girl.
What do you think's in that bottle?
I couldn't tell you till I've seen it.
I've a pretty good idea that brandy's been poisoned.